You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Have you ever noticed, like I have, that sometimes it is difficult to stay positive when all around us is negative? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced, like I have, sometimes it's very difficult to be holy when wickedness abounds everywhere? Sometimes it's hard to look up when everything down here, we look down and it's captured our thoughts. As we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he is coming again. Amen. Oh, I know 1 Thessalonians 5, they scoff, where's the promise of his coming? Where's this Jesus? But he is coming again. His word promised us he'll come again. And we don't know when. He says, when you think not, I would imagine the world doesn't believe Jesus is coming. But he's going to snatch away, we call it the rapture, snatch away. That word rapture means to snatch away, to pull out of this planet Earth Christians that know Christ. For this reason, the tribulation is going to begin when we're gone. There'll be 7 years of unparalleled tribulation. God's word tells us 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. I was reading them again this morning. How that a third part of the earth will burn up, and how a third part with this plague of men will die, and there'll be bloodshed, there'll be the Antichrist. You will not be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast upon your hand or upon your forehead. It's gonna be a very awful day. It's gonna be a day of anguish. We talk about climate change today. Man has not done the climate change. God's in control of the earth and the weather. But God is going to move things around, and the earth will scorch in his time. There'll be people that cry out for the mountains to fall. Oh, I know at the rapture, at first, the man will come on the white horse, the Bible says, and he'll bring what he declares is peace. He'll have no bow in his hand. I'm here to make peace with the nations of the world. And religiously, religion will make peace with one another. And economically, there'll be peace with one another for a season. And then he'll show really who he is. It'll be an awful day. So, well, I don't want to live through that. Well, you will if you don't get saved. You say, well, I'll get saved in the tribulation. Well, you're right. There will be many people coming to know Christ as Savior. God will see to it that 144,000 Jewish missionaries will go preach the gospel, and many will be saved. But the Bible declares, Revelation 2, that they will be martyred for the cause of Christ. You say, I'm willing to do that. I'll be martyred if I have to. I want to go to heaven. Oh, you won't get saved, because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that you'll be sent into strong delusion. If you've heard the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again, I just gave you the gospel, and you reject the good news of Jesus Christ, you will reject the good news during the tribulation. Oh no, I'll remember what the preacher said. Yes, but you'll be sent to strong delusion. You must be born again. Today's a day of grace, the Bible declares. And as we approach that day called the rapture, the Bible does not say it's going to get better and better. It's going to wax worse and worse. And so when you read the paper, you will not find any encouragement from the news. It's going to wax worse and worse. Some people will choose as editors and writers to lie to us. They will not tell the truth. Some news commentators will lie to us. Some political leaders may lie to us. And that's the day we live in. Families will turn against one another. Mothers and husbands against their children, and children against their parents. Isaiah chapter 3, women will rule over the entire household, and men will be in subject to their wives, and children will rule their mothers and daddies. If you don't believe that children do, go to a department store and watch when little Johnny doesn't get his candy bar that mother said no, and watch who wins the battle. Children rule. You be nice, little boy. You be nice, son. I'll buy you a brand new pair of Nikes. It's amazing how kids are in control. And the nation is reeling out of control. The Bible says in the last days, pestilence will come, disease. Oh, we're ravaged with disease worldwide. The Bible says in the last day, famine will come. Right now, there are more people today that will go to bed tonight hungry than those that have food in their belly. We sometimes are inoculated from this because we live in a country where we have good medicine, we have good food, we have good nourishment, we have good, well, you name it, but much of the world is in anguish tonight. And the Bible says that in this last day, there's some instruction for Christians. He's gonna give us that instruction for Christians, what I must be in these last days, how I must behave in this last day. God said, I'm sending my son, and he's gonna bring his grace with him. What is grace? We've been seeing grace as unmerited favor. God is gonna bestow favor on you and on me when he comes again, and he's gonna take us out of here, the Bible says. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we'll be snatched up to heaven. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 that God says in that he'll snatch us away at the trump of God. The trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I've often thought of that day. I'm so grateful my wife and I, though we did not know one another, were both saved. About the same time, I'm in California, she was in Illinois, and we got saved so many years ago. I'm glad my wife's going to heaven. I'm glad our three children are going to heaven. I'm glad our children are going to, their mates are going to heaven, and our grandchildren are going to heaven. What a privilege it is to know that I have family going to heaven. I look at all my aunts and uncles and parents and grandparents that passed away, and as far as I know, everyone, every single one. I had so many aunts and so many uncles. They're all in heaven. What a joy they all know the Lord. But the Bible says in that day of the rapture, two will be taken. One will be left. One will be left and one will be taken. The Bible speaks about a husband and wife asleep in bed, and one will go and one will be left behind. What a tragedy to think. That person you share life with, your mate, will be left behind because he or she has rejected the love of God. What a shame to think that we might have a son or daughter that's lost and will spend eternity in a place called hell because they said no to God. If you have a child that's unsaved, parents, I'm gonna plead with you, would you become very urgent in this thing of praying for the salvation of your son or your daughter? You say, my son is a dope addict, a drug addict. He's so far gone. On our radio program, I don't know if everybody likes it, but I love it. We play the old program called Unshackled. Men and women that have been bound by chains of drink and drugs and sin and corruption, and rescue missions have been opened to preach the gospel and to make sure that people get saved. The greatest baseball player that ran around the bases for the Chicago White Sox, fastest time around. As he ran, he was born in Marshalltown, Iowa, and became a great baseball player, but became a drunk. Was sitting in Chicago on the curb with the fellow White Sox players one night, mocking the people going to the mission. They too were drunk. But a sweet, kindly woman said, "Come on in, boys. What you need is inside. He stood to his feet and the other fellas made fun, and Billy Sunday walked in. Billy Sunday got not only saved that night, but he left baseball, became a preacher of the gospel, and without a microphone, over 1 million people asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They hit what he called the old sawdust trail. He'd build tabernacles all over America and put sawdust down and preach. What a preacher he was. You know, I've seen his notes, his personal notes. Died so many years ago, and we had him here one time, and he'd just like give 3 points, and he'd run, he'd slide over at that end of the platform, and like he'd slide into third base. What a fiery preacher. I've got a picture of him where he has his foot right here and a rail right back here. It was closer, and he's standing preaching the word of God. An old drunk. Your son might be a drunk or a drug addict, might be incarcerated today. I got so burdened about people incarcerated this week, praying for boys and girls and men and women that are behind bars, that the gospel would get to them, they could be saved. Here in this text, God tells us about that grace. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the, here it is, to the end, hope to the end. That's where you and I are, we're coming to the end. Hope to the end, watch it. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is gonna extend grace. He sees Dr. Hans and Mary Nikolai, and oh, there's trials in life. Brother Nikolai's and his wife, they've lived a good, long life, and we hope they have many more years to come. But they have, you don't live a long life without sorrow and pain and suffering and disappointment. God says, Dr. Nikolai, Sister Mary, I've got some grace. My grace is gonna rapture you out of here. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. No more heartache, no more disappointment, no more betrayal. All because it's coming today. I'm bringing my grace to reach you and pull you up and bring you all to heaven to live eternally with me. So he says, now because I'm bringing my grace, here's what I want you to do. 1, verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up. That word gird is an interesting word. It means pick up. It's the men that had the long flowing robes. And in Eastern custom, they'd wear those robes. And the Bible says, I want you to pick them up. When you're running your race, I don't want you to get all twisted up in your robe. I want you to pick them up. A belt, which was called a girt or a girdle. It was called in the Bible, a girdle and everything attached to it. It says, pick them up and get that cinched up so you hold up your loins. And God says, as you pick up the loins of your robes, pick up the loins of your mind, get them under control. You cannot and I cannot be thinking about how bad this day is. It's so expensive to live. It's expensive all over the world. I recall their various countries I've been in. I can recall that night on a Friday night in the Philippines as we were, it was raining. We were there as we had, I think there's 8 or 10 lanes of traffic. They made 12, 14 lanes out of it at this big old stoplight at the intersection on a highway. We're all stopped in that hot, humid weather. I saw little kids. Just little kids, 5, 6, trying to sell gum to make enough money to buy rice to eat for the day. Late at night, I don't know what it was, 10 o'clock at night, it was late. Little kids out there. And if we're not careful, we get thinking, it's so expensive to live. Welcome to life. You ever hear about the Great Depression? You ever hear about World War I, World War II? You ever hear about the Dust Bowl? You ever hear about the black plague where over 50 million Christians were martyred for the cause of Christ. That's why in Rome, if you go visit Rome, they have the catacombs where Catholicism killed Christians and threw them under the city. It's there. Go look at it yourself. They were martyred for the cause of Christ. Well, our rent is so high. That's why many people are out of church today. You got your mind all about how bad everything is. You know, you can go to a hospital with no insurance in America and get treated. Try that in other countries. I'm so tired of having people tell me how bad everything is. Here God says, gird up, pick up, protect your mind, protect, as you're protecting your feet and you're running, protect your mind. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are virtuous, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We got people thinking about 2020, about the election. No time to think about that. That's gonna happen. It's down the road. Get ready to vote, vote, and that's it. Why are we so wrapped up in the future? I love what the choir sang, Brother Elihu, this morning. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Your heart is your mind. One third of your brain is your heart, it's your mind. And God says, guard your mind. Well, stock market's down. Well, they're supposed to go down. I mean, you can't have win-win every day. Well, it's really going down. Yeah, and it's probably gonna go back up too. Well, houses are so expensive. Well, yes, they are. Stop talking about it. Well, I'd like to own. Well, then pray. Save. Save by the grace of God. If God tarries and we live somehow, well, it's not possible here. You're a fatalist. Is this the God that stopped the sun? Is this the God that raised the dead? Is this the God that created the world? You think of this, you think of this earth of ours, how huge this big ball is, and yet there's something called 93 million miles away, the sun, and it could hold 500 million earths. No, I didn't mix it up. 500 million earths can go inside that sun. And there are galaxies that can hold multiple millions of suns. Well, I wonder how that all got there. There is a God in heaven. Gird up the loins of your mind. Secondly, he says, I want you to be sober. That does not mean stop drinking, though that would be a good idea. Sober is steady. It's serious. Be steady. Day in, day out, children need a steady dad. Amen, Brother Traber. I do my own amen, it takes twice as long. Children need a steady dad. Wives need a steady husband. Husbands need a steady wife, not an emotional basket case. Couples need to be steady, ready, steady, sober. And it means to be sober, and it's steady, and it means to be calm. I don't know, kids. I'm just so afraid. Stop that nonsense. Grace is coming. Don't drive your stakes too deep, friend. We're moving in the morning. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Look what he says. Gird up. Secondly, be sober. Thirdly, I want you to have hope. Hope. See there, verse 3. Hope. Extreme expectation. Extreme expectation. Don't live hopeless. But you don't know my trouble. Oh, I probably don't. But man that's born of woman, his days are few and full of troubles as sparks fly upward, Job tells us. Everybody has troubles. Everyone has sorrows. Notice what else he says. I want you to gird up. I want you to be sober. I want you to have hope. I want you to know that I'm coming again. My grace I'm bringing with you. Woo! Look at what he says in Well, for the sake of time, I won't have you go back to verse 7, but he's talking about his coming again. And I want you to know that when I begin to think about I'm going to see him maybe today, I won't get so wrapped up with all this down here. I really believe, I don't know when Jesus is coming. I really believe we're coming to the end. I don't know if it's today or this month or this week or this year or next year or this decade. I don't know. But God says that he's coming when you think not. I want you to notice what he says. Well, I'm bringing my grace with you, but I want you to be separated clean. Verse 14, as obedient children, while you're waiting for me to come, be obedient, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and the ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, be so ye holy in all manner of conversation. I want you to be separated. Stop living for the world. Stop living for the flesh. You know, some of you young boys and young girls, if you get over the chip on your shoulder, and it might be rightful, the chip, you may have been offended or hurt or betrayed, I don't know. But if you'd grow up and man up or be a godly woman and say, I am not going to live from my past. I'm going to look unto Jesus, my future. I'm speaking to some of you today. This may be your last Sunday in the house of God. I'm not saying you're dying this week. I'm saying you're going to walk out on God this week, this month, this summer, this year. I'm done with it. What a foolish thing. God wasn't wrong. You're wrong. Then I see the scriptures as we are waiting for that day, verse 16, because it is written. Thank God for the Bible where it's written, verse 25, the word of God, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Thank God for the scriptures. Thank God for the word of God. He is coming again. He is coming again. This very same Jesus, rejected of men, he's coming. Oh, I know. My dad at family Bible time would teach us he's coming. I taught my kids he's coming. My grandfathers, though I did not know, my grandfathers would tell their kids. I knew one for a short period before he passed away. That my grandfathers would preach that he's coming again. But he's still not come. We'd sing this little chorus as teenagers. Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to Jesus, your redemption draweth nigh. Just a little longer, off pitch here. Just a little longer, we'll meet him in the sky. Well, we're going to meet him. And if you do not know him, you'll be left behind. 7 years. Chapter 6 of Revelation through chapter 9. You can read it for yourself. God tells you all that's going to happen. Chapter 6, chapter 19. Did I say 9? Chapter 6 through 19. He'll tell you all that's going to happen. He'll tell you about the 200 million soldiers coming from China into Israel. He'll tell you that. He'll tell you from Ezekiel 38 and 39 how Russia is going to come from the north and invade Israel. He'll tell you from the south, Egypt is going to come and invade. He'll tell you from the Mediterranean how that European federated armies will come and they'll all converge and war against Israel. Is it any wonder the world hates the Jews? God chose to work through Jewish people in Israel, and they, this world, hates the Jew. Hate them! You can blaspheme them and blaspheme their God and make fun of them. You try that with another religion. Because the war is not with religion. Their war, this world, is with God. And he's coming.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.